This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York. City that doesn't sleep, and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap.
Hey, a little New York, New York, and Frankie Baby, the would have been 100-year-old Frank Sinatra, New York, New York. One of his, he must have had about three or four theme songs you could always think about. That one, and then he did the one about Chicago, and oh, he had so many. Anyway, welcome to Freedom Works. We're all about telling you what's going on in a libertarian vent. We are Tampa Bay's libertarian voice. I am Paul Malloy. It's Friday, February the 26th. Thank you very much for being with us. We're going to be chatting in a few minutes with Heather Kays of Watchdog.org. It's our weekly look at the American education scene and among other topics. We're going to talk to her about how easy it should be to fire bad teachers. You think that that should be done quickly, right? Ah, it never is, so we'll talk about that. And did you watch that knockdown, drag-out fight last night? It was bloody. I'm talking about, no, not boxing. I'm talking about the GOP presidential debate in Houston. Who do you think won? Were there any survivors? We're going to talk about that as well. And I'm sure Andrew the Master Barber will be talking with us about how he felt Donald Trump did. And in our ultimate top 10 list, well, with the last show, we did the top 10 biggest sinner cities. Well, turnabout, fair play, the top 10 most saintly cities, the best ones. You want to go and be good? Here are the cities to go to in the U.S. And by the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew the Master Barber for the best haircuts in Tampa Bay. You go to Andrew the Master Barber. His shop is in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580 in Clearwater, just west of Highway 19. On the north side there, look for the yellow sign with the red letters, Columbia Plaza. You will find the best haircut in Tampa Bay. The price is great. It's a great experience. We talk and they talk very, very cordially about all kinds of things. Lots of politics. They are open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m., closed on Monday. You'll love Andrew. You'll love Candy, his daughter. And they do indeed. They give you the best haircut you'll find. Really. They'll do it the way you want. You'll be so happy. And they're very cordial. Please go to Andrew, the Master Barber, in the Columbia Plaza in Clearwater. And remember, if you like our show, you will love Andrew, the Master Barber. Don't forget, you can call in, if you'd like, to our show, 866-826-1340. 866-826-1340. And please go to our website, because you can hear our show anytime, at your leisure. Big Ed sets up a podcast for you, thefreedomworks.com, thefreedomworks.com. Well, in a few minutes, Heather Kays will be joining us, but we got to talk, of course, about what happened in that debate last night. It was in Houston, and Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio came out swinging. Now, you got to remember that Donald Trump is sucking all of the oxygen up in the air when it comes to the Republican presidential debate. And to some extent, Rubio has laid off on Trump. But now, with the Super Tuesday primary coming this coming Tuesday. 11 states are involved, a huge number of delegates. And it looks like Rubio, even in Florida, is trailing Donald Trump. He has to do something. And he went on the attack. And quite frankly, I thought he did a pretty good job. He's sort of like, to me, it reminded me of, for those of you that remember Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, I thought Rubio was more like Muhammad Ali and Trump was more like Joe Frazier. But both Rubio and Cruz fought hard to throw Donald Trump off his stride. There was only five left of, you know, candidates. John Kasich and Dr. Ben Carson at the corners during the debate. And the best line coming from Dr. Ben Carson, the insults were going left and right, first of all, between Cruz and Trump and Rubio and Trump and Cruz and Rubio. And at some point, Dr. Ben Carson said, hey, somebody insult me, or something to that effect. Right, Ed?
Somebody please attack me.
Yeah. That was the best line of the night. It got the crowd really roaring. And it was true. I mean, Ben Carson was sitting there so politely. And so was John Kasich, for the most part. I think CNN enjoyed refereeing and indeed initiating the trouble. I think there's an underlying message from people like those moderators at CNN. I think for the most part they're Democratic liberals. And they like to see the Republicans form a circular firing squad because they think it enhances the Democratic situation. I'm not sure it does. It seems to me that Hillary Clinton is drawing absolutely no enthusiasm. None. I think Bernie Sanders, and I don't know how he could awaken a sleeping dog, but Bernie Sanders seems to have more energy than Hillary Clinton to me. I don't know. In his own strange way, he does.
Well, to go along with Ben Carson's "Someone Please Attack Me," we have the other one.
Please clap.
Oh, yes. We need to keep that on our show. When there are low points here, we bring the please clap thing on and we get this phony clapping. And that, of course, was the late, great Jeb Bush. Did anybody remember that Jeb used to be a candidate? He's no longer a candidate. So that leaves Marco for Florida, right? But if you look at the polls, Donald Trump is ahead of Marco Rubio in Florida. Does that surprise you, Ed? Does it surprise you that Donald Trump is ahead of Marco Rubio in Florida?
I think nothing surprises us now because it was deemed a joke from the start.
Yes.
And it's not a joke anymore.
It's no joke. 6 months ago, I thought it was a joke. If it is a joke, it's the longest joke I've ever experienced. Anyway, we are going to be talking with Heather Kayes. Let us take our first break. And when we come back, Heather Kayes.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
There's only one place on the radio where golfers like you can turn for the best tips, interviews, product reviews, local tournaments, and everything golf talk. The Golf Show Guys.
Hey, join the Golf Show Guys every Wednesday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. It's not just funny, it's informative, it's celebrities, and it's a lot of applause. It's the Golf Show Guys, Wednesday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tan Talk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
Go Yard!
hard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
Join me, Mitch Browser, the first Saturday of each month at 1 p.m. as I browse around Tampa Bay. The show will focus on local pizza restaurants, local movie theaters, and what movie is a must to see. Then we will discuss the Tampa Bay Lightning and other happenings in the world of hockey. So please join Browsing Around Tampa Bay the first Saturday of each month on WTAN, 1340 AM, the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works, and always, every Friday, we're delighted to have Heather Kays join us. Heather is the senior education reporter for watchdog.org, and she can be found frequently writing articles having to do with schools and what is going on, vouchers, charter schools, homeschooling, and the like. And Heather, before we get into some of the stories I know you want to talk about, there was an editorial in the Tampa Bay Times on Sunday, their biggest editorial, and it talks about charter school bills hurting public schools. And I know you're aware of it, that here in Florida, there is an attempt to cut back on some of the funding for regular public schools and divert some of it into charter schools. And the Tampa Bay Times is very much against it. And I'm reading this editorial, and they talk about the fact that the bill that is currently in the Florida House would force school districts to give some local property tax money to charter schools, and they're very much against it. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on a state doing something like that, sliding some money over into charter schools and maybe away from some public schools.
I think that that's great. I think that as long as the state has very effective and strong laws regarding charter school authorization, then there's no reason that the money shouldn't be used also for charter schools, because charter schools are public schools as well.
Right.
It's not as if you're taking the money and handing it to a private for-profit school or a religious school or one of the other reasons that school choice opponents love to cite. It's still going to public schools. And from the beginning of charter schools, they've received less money, less funding
right.
than traditional public schools. Eventually, that's going to become a problem when it comes to, building repairs and things like that. So there should be a shift. As students are shifted to these other schools, the money should follow the students.
Right. Yes, and the Times are, it's funny that the Times is saying that these kinds of things should not be taken away from local school districts to make the decisions, because in so many cases, those that are for the school teachers' unions are not too excited about changes at the school district level. So anyway, just wanted to bring that up. So let's get on to some of the stories, Heather, that I know you want to talk about. And one of them from the LA Times, it's an ongoing situation. And how easy should it be to fire bad teachers? You would think it should be relatively easy, but that's not necessarily the case. Would you talk about that story a little bit?
Sure. So this is in reference to the Vergara case, which the appeal began this week. So basically, that question is exactly what this case is looking at. How easy or how difficult should it be to get rid of a teacher who's doing a bad job? In California, until this case came about, it only took 2 years for teachers to obtain tenure. So what that basically equates to is they have just unbelievable job protections in that state, and it becomes very, very expensive and time-consuming and difficult for teachers to be removed from the classroom.
Now, who is this Vergara? Just to bring the listeners up to snuff, this is the case of Vergara versus California. And is Vergara the plaintiff saying that there should be a better and quicker way of getting rid of bad teachers?
They're questioning the teacher tenure law and other job protections. So it would change those things. It would make it easier to get rid of bad teachers because it would weaken the job protections.
Right. And what's the chances, do you think, of this thing going through?
Well, I mean, this is an appeal, so you never really know with these things. I wouldn't know what to have to make a guess about this, but I know that Governor Jerry Brown is against Vergara. I know that the teachers' unions are obviously against Vergara, but there's been a ton of support in looking at this case because it's raised a lot of questions about the idea of simply saying that if something's good for teachers means it must be good for students. This case sort of calls that into question. Student achievement is obviously a very separate thing from whether or not a teacher is happy with their job. So at the end of the day, what we really need to decide is, are we trying to educate students and that's what this funding is going for, or are we trying to keep teachers happy and employed?
Right. Right, you are. And now, this is kind of an interesting. This goes to Florida. We always have so much going on with schooling in Florida. There's a Senate bill that would let children, pupils, swap the foreign language courses they might be taking for computer classes, computer coding classes. What is that all about?
So the way that it works is you're basically required to have foreign language credits if you want to attend a four-year university pretty much anywhere. But this bill, they're considering, instead of taking Spanish or French or whatever language, you would be able to get the necessary credits by taking computer coding classes. It's interesting. It's been considered a few places before. I'm not a huge fan of it because I feel like they're not similar subjects.
No.
It's also ridiculous for us to think that we shouldn't be able to adequately teach Spanish and coding.
I was going to say, what's the deal here? Why do you have to get rid of a foreign language? If you want to include coding, maybe you could give people a choice, but maybe they want to take both a foreign language and a computer class.
Right. I think that, speaking another language makes it easier to learn all other languages.
Right.
It's a huge asset in getting a job anywhere. So I don't know that getting rid of that really makes a lot of sense to me, although I do agree that computer coding does need to exist in schools.
Now. Oh, absolutely. It does. It's something we got to deal with. But you're right. Also, and going back to the basics of education, and this is still applies today. If you don't know how to be proficient in speaking and writing and, basic sentences, just like if you don't know how to, balance a checkbook, you're going to have a very rough life. You're not going to be people that speak well usually think fairly well. One kind of follows the other. And if you can get that basic in languages, it used to be the Latin, way back Latin was the perfect language because all of the other languages derived their words from Latin. So that if you knew some Latin, you would automatically know words just because of the part of that word that was in there, the derivative. But we're a long way from even considering the basics that we all used to think we would get. And get out and get into life with that kind of thing. But anyway, I'm going on and on. But you're right. Why not allow people to continue to take a language course along with it? There's got to be a way. I don't know why they are getting so structured in enforcing this kind of thing. Anyway, here's a nice story. At least at first glance, it comes from Redefined. And talks about teachers and unions, I should say, teacher unions wanting some kinds of voucher expansion in Florida. What's that all about?
So the headline is a little bit misleading.
Yeah.
The Florida Education Association President Joanne McCall wrote an op-ed where she basically was going on and on about the wonderful voluntary pre-kindergarten program, and Redefine Ed basically calls out the fact that this is a union head who is going on and on about how great a government-funded voucher is.
A government-funded voucher.
Yes. So the thing that's interesting about this is she's also a member of the union that's attacking Jeb Bush's program, the largest school choice program in the country that has now more than 78,000 students participating. So the point of this piece was sort of to point out the irony of taking
right.
one voucher.
No logic.
Okay,
no logic.
Not okay.
Right.
Yeah.
No logic to it. See, that's the point. The bottom line is that it's not a matter of making sure that these kids get a good education. This is strictly a political thing for her. The kids' education are in the way of the goals of the union. To some extent. That's why anybody that has a brain in their head realizes that if you give parents a choice, they're going to opt for a better place for their kids to get educated. And they want to take that voucher and get to a school that will help their kids. And this is so, it is just crazy. Anyway, and now we've got this story about Bernie Sanders and what he really thinks about education. I know you got a couple of stories, one from the New York Daily News and one from the Washington Examiner, about his school choice somersault here?
Yes. So Shabar Jeffries, he is the president of Democrats for Education Reform. He did an editorial. He was quoted in the story basically saying the establishment that Bernie Sanders likes is traditional public schools, and pretty much called him out for flip-flopping and now being against charter schools. So I think that what people are thinking this is probably about is Bernie Sanders realizes he's up against Hillary, who has the endorsements of all the big teachers unions.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to come out hard against things that the unions aren't going to like, to try to scoop up any of the supporters who were annoyed that Hillary got the endorsements over him without him receiving much consideration.
Right. So I'm sorry, I was just going to say, so it's not a matter of what he really wants, it's just a matter of politics?
That's the question that's being asked. I mean, really, his flip-flop was something like 15 years ago, so he could have actually just changed his mind about charter schools. He hasn't really come out to explain why his position has changed. He's just made comments about thinking that charter schools would pull money away from traditional public schools,
mm-hmm.
against that concept.
You know, just to read a little bit about this, Bernie Sanders is struggling to connect with minority voters, partly because of his position on education, partly. And so this Shavar Jeffries, in an op-ed in the New York Daily News, says that blacks and Latinos should be disappointed in Sanders because of his defense of status quo public schools. And and then he talks about in 1998 that Sanders voted in favor of the charter school expansion. So it sounds like Sanders is just trying to grab whatever he can grab from those people that still believe in the teachers' union's way of doing things. Man, if I was Sanders, I'd go the exact opposite. I would say, look, we need vouchers for these kids. And especially in these poor neighborhoods. Don't you think that would help him?
I think so, yeah.
You know?
I mean, school choice is one of the only issues where, during polls, the American public, somewhere around 70% of people are in favor of school choice.
Yeah.
Not a lot of things that we agree on in that fashion.
Yeah.
But I understand, I guess, the idea. I remember when Hillary got the endorsements from the teachers' unions, there were lots and lots of teachers who were upset that Bernie Sanders wasn't given real consideration, and
yeah.
kind of created a little bit of backlash. So I can see the political reasoning
for, oh, yeah,
for trying to capitalize on that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've been speaking with Heather Case, who is the senior education reporter for Watchdog.org. Heather, finally, did you watch any of that mad circus debate last night? GOP?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. Rubio did quite well.
Yeah.
I would say
you're right. I think he did. I think he was quick to pounce. When he wants to, he's pretty quick. He was getting his jabs in there, even though Trump was trying to talk over him to some extent. I'm trying to think if they even talk much. You know, it does seem like education gets a very small play in these debates, don't you think?
It's hardly ever mentioned.
Yeah.
It's only ever mentioned if they're bragging about something that they've done regarding education.
That's true.
There's never any discussion over actual policy issues or what they intend to do. It's an afterthought if it's mentioned at all.
Yeah, it really is. People, their minds apparently are not on this right now. Anyway, Heather, thanks as always. We will look forward to our talking with you again next Friday, and take care till then.
Thank you.
There we are, Heather Case. All right, going to take our break. And when we come back, Andrew the Master Barber is going to talk to us about what he thought about the Republican debate last night.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is John Austin, host of the Tantalk Radio Network's book club, inviting you to join us every Tuesday at noon to hear talented new national and international authors discuss their books. The program features both fiction and nonfiction titles and is sure to add terrific new books for your must-read list. If you love books, be sure to listen every Tuesday at noon for the book club right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Dan Wendell, founder of Dolphin Financial Group. Tune into our show on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9 a.m. to learn about how to plan your retirement. One of the hot topics lately has been Social Security. The laws changed in November 2015, so to explain these changes, I'm personally hosting educational seminars at your local library. Go to dolphinfinancialgroup.com to register for a Social Security maximization workshop near you and learn how to get the most out of Social Security. That's dolphinfinancialgroup.com.
Come check out Sports Legends, the newest sports bar in Clearwater, with over 50 60-inch TVs and a large menu with upscale options. All day, every day, buckets of beer, buy four, get one free, and domestic pitchers for $7.99 for the month of January. Happy hour is Monday through Friday from 2 to 6. Sports Legends is located right across from Bright House Field on the corner of Drew Street and US 19. Visit them online at sportslegends.biz and join the email list to get a $5 coupon towards your next meal. Drink responsibly.
Show me the money.
It's the Employment Opportunity Hour with Gene Hodge, every Thursday night from 7 until 8.
So the purpose of the show is to help you out there to find something that you enjoy doing instead of a job. And at the start of the show, I normally give out a formula, which I know will guarantee you to find the type of job that you want right now.
Find out the formula to an enjoyable job with Gene Hodge's Employment Opportunity Hour every Thursday night from 7 until 8 here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Show me the money.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're back on Freedom Works. Want to remind you that we are sponsored in part by Andrew the Master Barber. His shop, located in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, it is just west of beautiful Highway US 19 in Clearwater. Best haircut you will get in Tampa Bay, for my money. And the price, you cannot beat it. It is also a great experience. When you get in there, you are treated like royalty. They are very cordial, both Andrew and Candy. Again, it's open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2, closed Monday. And remember, if you like our show, you will love Andrew the Master Barber. And speaking of Andrew, he is here. And Andrew, you, I'm sure, were glued to your set last night.
You know I was.
I know you were.
And you know, I had to sit there and laugh because Trump and Rubio and Cruz looked like they were on the Titanic. And as it was going down, they looked like the guys who were trying to throw the old ladies off the lifeboat so they could get in. Okay? There's no other way to explain
these two
goofs. It's the truth. They're sinking so fast that it's phenomenal. And you know what? I Googled this morning, just like Mr. Rubio said to do. And he should have never said that because they're going to bite him in the rear end.
Really?
You wouldn't believe all the things that are Googling about Marco Rubio.
Okay, now what did Rubio say last night when he said he wanted you to Google MarcoRubio.com? Go ahead.
No. He says to Google about Trump when he said he hired Polish workers who were illegal. It's all a bunch of baloney. However, if you push in there now, you see pictures of Marco Rubio sitting in hot tubs with a bunch of men. Okay, for pictures when he was a young boy.
Now, wait a second.
That's right.
What site are we talking about? Are we talking about Trump's site?
No, this is right on Facebook. People Googled up about Mr. Rubio.
Oh, my goodness.
And they got him sitting in a park in a car with another guy when he was 18 years old. Uh-oh. He got arrested for it. They show him in a hot tub with a bunch of men. It happens to be in a gay resort. Okay?
Okay.
I think just Googling what he said is going to bite him in the rear end.
Okay, we got to be careful here now.
Right.
Are we insinuating that Marco Rubio is anything less than a heterosexual?
Well, they're insinuating that he's less than a Christian that he's claiming to be.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
They didn't say nothing about heterosexual.
All right.
They said it is a Christian.
Okay.
Okay, to be nice to him.
Now, let me get your honest opinion. I know that you like Donald Trump. Do you think he outshined?
Yes. I think he handled himself perfectly. That guy was getting hit with 50-millimeter barrage on both sides.
He was. But you're not surprised.
Perfectly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could tell with his facial expressions what he was telling him. And I wish he would have told him. But anyway,
yeah.
I think he stood up. I don't think Marco Rubio is going anywhere. And I don't think Cruz is going to. They can fight all they want. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get Mr. Romney involved now, too.
Well, okay. Mitt Romney.
He's thinking he's going to throw his hat into a brokered convention.
You think?
Yeah, but you know what? He's a loser.
Okay, let's go back to Mitt Romney's comment that Donald Trump should release his income tax statements for the past several years. Do you agree with that?
Well, you know, it all depends. If he was on trial for something, maybe. But, I mean, I'm in business myself, and personally, my income tax is nobody else's business.
But you're not running for a public office.
But even if you did, what right do people have of what your taxes are?
Well, actually, they do seem to feel that there is a right to know how you've been performing, you know, in terms of what you've been doing with your career, et cetera. I mean, usually presidential candidates will do that. I suspect Donald will do it.
Oh, he will. He's going to make him sweat and make him think everything is wrong. Then he's going to prove them all wrong right at the point.
Yeah, I don't see it being a big issue. But,
no.
But Romney did bring it up as a possible thing. Do you think that because Romney mentions it like he did, that it's because Romney indeed is thinking of...
Of course.
Okay.
And you know what? If he gets in there, guess what? They're going to lose again.
Mm-hmm.
Romney's nothing but a loser.
Well, that's what Donald Trump said.
And he's right. And the guy is right. He's nothing but a loser. He's a sore loser at that, too.
Okay. Now, we are planning on doing our show from Andrew the Master Barber on Friday, hopefully Friday, March the 11th. That is the Friday prior to the Florida primary. So we're looking forward to that. We're going to be promoting that a little bit.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. I can guarantee you one heck of a show.
We're going to have fun.
Definitely.
Yeah, and we're going to continue to talk about that. We're going to actually be there, Ed, myself, and Andrew, and we're going to talk with the people that come in. We're going to talk about, and of course, everybody will be excited at that point because it will be the Florida primary on the following Tuesday, and that's a huge event. So it should be interesting. And by the way, I have been, you know, I got some of those Donald Trump Make America Great stickers from Andrew, bumper stickers, and I'm telling you what, they're leaving my hand so quickly, Andrew, I'm going to have to get some more from you. A lot of people want them.
Well, we're going to have plenty where that comes from. One more thing I got to tell you, is tonight there's going to be a sign holding, but we moved it from Curlew and 19 to Belcher Road and Gulf to Bay. We're all going to be meeting in the Albertsons parking lot, and yours truly is going to be there holding the biggest sign he can get.
Really? Okay, now tell us again. Now, this is when?
It's going to be tonight from 4 till about 6:30.
4 to 6:30.
And it's going to be at Belcher Road and Gulf to Bay.
Okay.
And we're going to meet in the Albertsons parking lot there.
Oh, okay. And it's going to be a big Trump rally to get the attention of motorists.
We're going to give it our best.
No, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Truly is going to be there. And I'll tell you, those guys got me going last night. My blood pressure, I think, was 240 over something. These guys, like I said, they could have rewrote the Titanic, and they were the guys pushing the old ladies off the lifeboat to save themselves.
Well, I tell you what, there was a desperate look in their eyes as they went after Donald Trump. He was right in the middle, too. I mean, he must have felt like a ham sandwich being crushed by the bread, you know?
Yeah, but you know what? He stood up tall like Rocky, my friend.
Yes, he
took it, and he came back, and he bit him.
Well, he did. You know, he gives for everything he gets, he certainly gives. And so we got Tuesdays, what they call this Super Tuesday coming up, this
That's
Tuesday.
Right.
And we're going to have a huge number of delegates that are going to be at stake in 11 states. And that includes Texas. Now, in Texas, my friend, Ted Cruz apparently is leading Donald Trump. It may be the only state.
Did you see where they took that poll? In one of the colleges out of 168 students.
Are you talking about a Quinnipiac University poll?
Yeah.
Well, that's usually a good poll, though. It's usually done fairly accurately. Quinnipiac is well-respected for polling.
Well, I can tell you one thing. So far, there's been one poll that hasn't been off at all.
Tell
us. You know what that is?
Yes, I do, but you tell us anyway.
It's the Barber poll.
Oh!
It's the Barber poll,
friend. It's the greatest.
It's 100% accuracy.
It is the most accurate poll that
I
have ever seen, because Andrew gets a composite of all the people of this country that come in for haircuts, right, Andrew? So
you got it.
All makes and models.
You got it.
And so you can really have your finger on what is going on in this country, right?
No, you know, in my shop anyway.
Yeah.
I get all walks of life, and I can tell you that 9 out of 10 people that are coming into my shop are all for Donald Trump. They're all fed up with the Democrats and the Republicans. They are tired of politicians.
I think you are right. I must say, and I try to be neutral about this, but I have been talking to different people, and it's true. It is true. They say, I'm sick of it, and Donald is giving us hope, and I'm going to vote for him. And I mean, I'm hearing it from relatives.
I am hearing
it from friends. I'm hearing it from people I just talk casually with. There is something in the air regarding Donald Trump.
It's like I said, he's a movement. He's not pulling a political a campaign. He is controlling a movement of the people that are fed up. You're gonna see when this goes down and he gets the nomination, you're gonna see the country divided of the people that are working and the people that want everything in this election.
I think there's
and we're gonna see what majority is left.
Well, he has, I'll tell you what, there is a groundswell of support for this guy, and it's not just Republicans.
That's right. Like I told you the other day, the state of Florida had the record amount of people switching party affiliation in the history of the state of Florida.
Well, another thing you can measure is just the number of people that are turning out for the Republican primaries as opposed to the Democratic primary. It's no contest. The Republican primaries are breaking records in every state for people that are turning out.
Now, look at South Carolina alone. During the Democratic primary, they got 11,000 voters in.
It was amazing.
And the Republicans got 76,000, I believe it was. And out of that, Donald Trump got 46,000 almost.
Yeah, he's definitely dragging people over and dragging them into the primaries. And the numbers speak for themselves. And I don't think it bodes well for Democrats. But we will see. You never know, right?
No, like I say, the Republican Party, right now, they have an unsinkable ship. And they're trying to find a weakness like what happened to the Titanic, but they can't do it this time. They're trying. The Republican Party, you know, it almost turns my stomach to see how crooked they are.
Mm.
Okay, but this is where Mr. Trump comes in. And I'll tell you what, if they mess with him, you will see the demise of the Republican Party because he won't stand for it.
I don't think they're going to do that. If there's a groundswell of support like there is, they're not going to do that. It's cutting their own throats.
That's right. They're cut off their nose to spite their face.
Yeah, exactly. Andrew, it is always a pleasure, my friend, and you are in particular energy this morning, so we do appreciate it.
All right, buddy. You take care.
All right. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Andrew, the Master Barber, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we've got more to talk about, including the top 10 most saintly cities in the U.S.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Neil Solons with the Rays Report. Friday, the Rays will hold their first full team workout. Second-year manager Kevin Cash wouldn't preview the message he'll send to his team, but says it's a bit different addressing the group in year two than in year one.
We care the same thing and the same principles, but it is more comforting to be looking into a group that you have relationships with rather than kind of looking out there and not knowing a lot of the faces.
One of the new players under Cash vying for a job is shortstop Brad Miller. Traded from Seattle in the offseason, Miller says he's been welcomed with open arms.
You know, just the excitement around the team has been pretty cool. So it's been really, you know, so far pretty seamless for me just because everybody's been so awesome to me.
Miller and the other Rays position players will participate in live batting practice Friday. Chris Archer, Drew Smyly, and Erasmo Ramirez are among those scheduled to throw. With the Rays Report, I'm Neil Solons.
Catch the Rays all season on the Rays Radio Network. For tickets, visit RaysBaseball.com.
It's royal fun for everyone. The 2016 Florida Strawberry Festival, March 3rd through March 13th, with over 24 of America's top entertainers performing daily at 3:30 and 7:30 p.m. on the Wish Farm Soundstage. Hundreds of exhibits, arts and crafts, free entertainment, awesome food fit for a king, and of course, our world-famous Plant City Strawberry Shortcake. Ride all you want special days and nights on the Bell City Amusements Midway with over 80 of the most exciting rides in our kingdom. Plus, the Sunny Bell Kitty Corral for the little ones. Just chillin' in. Gate admission is just $10 for adults, $5 for kids, children 5 and under, free. Or visit a participating public supermarket for discounted admission tickets. Get details and your tickets today at flstrawberryfestival.com. That's flstrawberryfestival.com. The 2016 Florida Strawberry Festival. Royal fun for everyone.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Friday morning. Freedom Works. Thank you very much for being with us. Before we get to our top 10, we got some other stories, believe it or not, going on besides politics. And one of which has to do with food and sexual preference. And what I mean by that, in Texas, a small town bakery, which is owned by a Christian family, is under siege. They have declined to bake a wedding cake for a gay couple there. You remember a few months ago we were talking about a similar case, a husband and wife bakery, and the trouble that they went through? Well, this is another one. This is Edie and David DeLorme. They own Kern's Bake Shop in Longview, Texas. They are also devout Christians. They are Baptists. And they run their bakery according to the tenets of their religious beliefs. So they're very devout, right? This is the last place a gay couple should come in unless they're just trying to test this couple and the bakery. That's what I'm thinking is going on. But on February 17th, two men who are apparently going to be married, Ben Valencia and Luis Marmoleo, Marmoleo, have requested the bakers make a cake for their upcoming wedding. Well, come on. You know, they don't want to do that. And Edie said to them, I was up front. I said, I'm sorry, but we don't provide wedding cakes for homosexual marriages. And she said, we don't do cakes and we won't do bakery goods if it might conflict with our spiritual convictions. She said it was not something personal against the two young men. We just need to be able to run our business in a way that honors God. Now, she offered to provide the young gay couple with a list of bakeries that would meet their needs. But she said the men simply turned away. A few days later, she gets a phone call from a local newspaper. The gay couple had gone public and had accused the bakery and the DeLorme family of discrimination. And so on and on we go. You know that story and what goes on with it. Soon after the publication of this encounter with the gay couple, the DeLormes were overwhelmed with a number of threats against their business and their family. So this is where these kinds of things go. Their free speech versus somebody else's free speech. In this case, it's their private business, and they can turn away people. Remember those signs, no shoes, no shirt, no service? You'd see them. Maybe they're still around, you know. Well, the private business has the right to decide who can or who cannot patronize their store. You may not like it, and it may be bad for their business to discriminate, but they have that right. They have that right. It's called freedom of speech. It's their turf. It's the same as their house. Now, the other story very quickly is with Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is owned by a Christian family. And at the University of Nebraska, last January, students were asked to select a new dining option for the student union. Their choices included Chick-fil-A, Panda Express, the House of Pancakes, A&W, and Sbarro. The youngsters chose Chick-fil-A in a landslide. Wasn't close. However, that did not set well with certain groups on campus. And it was then decided that they were going to ignore the voting of the kids. And that's when all hell broke loose at the University of Nebraska in Kearney. Here was one of the students who wrote on Facebook, when we learned more about Chick-fil-A, okay, this is the student body president who asked that the vote be discounted. And the student body president said, when we learn more about Chick-fil-A and its corporate values and discriminatory policies, and after hearing that there were concerns raised by a section of our student body, we decided these corporate values are not aligned with our values as a student body. Who is we? It was a handful of people that decided for everybody else. Well, they took a vote, my friend, and it was an overwhelming decision to have Chick-fil-A. And I'm sure when they thought about Chick-fil-A, they did not think about their political or religious positions. So this is getting really crazy. So this is the kind of thing that's going on these days. And finally, before we do our top 10, remember that Seattle is trying to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. They may already have completely gone up to that amount. But on the heels of their passing a $15 minimum wage, the City Council of Seattle is now drafting an ordinance that would shift power away from employers when it comes to how workers are scheduled and paid. The workers are going to be able to decide their scheduling and their method of payment. This is a city council member by the name of Lorena Gonzalez. She is leading the effort to make new rules on how employers schedule their workers. Here are some of the things the bill is expected to include. A guarantee that workers get at least 11 hours of downtime between their shifts. A requirement that workers get schedules a week in advance or else be paid time and a half if shifts are added inside that time frame. A requirement that employers pay employees for a few hours of work not performed if shifts are taken away. So here we go with the chickens running the hen house instead of the owners. Several of these components are being pushed by a group called Working Washington, the same group that fought for the minimum wage. Well, so there you go. And, of course, with that raise in the minimum wage, there have been both workers and even some restaurants in Seattle that are having a great deal of trouble. The workers themselves, a lot of them are being let go. And that always happens when you start raising the cost of labor, especially in fast food restaurants, believe me. Well, it is finally time for our top 10, and we've got a good one. This is kind of the paradox of the one we did Wednesday, Ed. We had done the most sinful cities on Wednesday, so turnabout is fair play. And this is actually the most saintly cities. They based this on the seven deadly sins. Lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and vanity were the seven deadly sins. And these cities were the best at keeping away from them. It comes from a website called Trulia, Trulia.
So these would be the Mayberries.
Yeah, but they're big cities. So I'm going to let you guess what the top city is. I think you'll be close, but we'll see. But without further ado, here we go. Number 10. And I don't know how they got this one in there. Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Now, really?
Cambridge is a huge college town.
Yep.
Yeah. You would think that there would not...
A lot of shenanigans,
maybe. I think there'd be more shenanigans, but they figured not so. Number 9. Greeley, Colorado. Now, that must be very... I'm going to guess very wealthy area, but
yeah,
I'm not
positive. It is.
It is. Yeah, because you go out there to Colorado, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I've been to Aurora. No, not Aurora, but Boulder and skiing out.
Yeah, you're a big skier.
So.
Is Greeley a ski area?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number 8. This is not a ski area, I don't think. It's Asheville, North Carolina.
Mm.
Now, North Carolina, I'm not surprised.
No.
There's a lot of religion in North Carolina.
Yes.
A lot of Baptists.
A lot
in
of
North
dry
Carolina.
Counties.
And a lot of dry counties.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Number 7. And this is not a surprise to me. Boise, Idaho.
Mm.
That's kind of the same. It's very white there. Let's be honest. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Republicans. Number 6. I don't even know where this is, but it's Claremont, New Hampshire. Claremont, New Hampshire is the 6th stateliest city.
Huh.
I wonder how big it is. It can't be very big. Number 5. Back to North Carolina, Raleigh.
Okay.
Yeah, Raleigh. Well, we know why. All right. Number 4. Hey, this is where the University of Alabama is, Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Hmm.
And that surprised. It's kind of like Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Hmm.
I didn't think that those were necessarily saintly cities, but apparently they are. Okay. Number 3. Back to Colorado. Are you familiar with Fort Collins, Colorado? Yeah, you're not. He's on the phone now. Well, Fort Collins, Colorado is the 3rd saintliest city. I guess that might also be a ski area, but I'm not positive.
Which one was it?
Fort Collins?
No, that's out west, so it's not really ski.
All right, well, it's number 3. Did you know? Oh, all right. And here we go. Number 2. And I'm surprised we hadn't heard this state mentioned before. Ogden, Utah.
Utah.
Mormon country.
Yes.
Mormon country.
Yeah.
I guess there are a lot of saints.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there are. So I'm going to now leave you. I'm going to give you a hint. It's close to Ogden. Let's see if you can guess.
So somewhere near Utah. In Utah.
Could be.
I can't think of the city that I'm thinking of
We're
right
being
now.
Attacked by dogs, by the way.
Yeah. That are not from Utah.
No, they're not from Utah. They're from Alaska.
I don't get it. Good.
All right. I wouldn't have gotten it either. It's not Salt Lake City. Well, I would have thought it might have been Salt Lake City, but it's close by. It's Provo.
Provo.
Now, Provo has got one of the major colleges.
Yes. Something's big in Provo. Yeah. No, something came out of Provo, Utah.
It ain't drinking, it ain't gambling, and it ain't horsing around.
Now, see, I wonder if that, too, is a bunch of dry counties there.
It is.
That's
they're Mormons.
There's nothing to do.
I don't think Mormons drink.
You think, though, that
there's one thing that Mormons do.
What's that?
There's one thing they do. They don't drink.
Oh, that's right.
Okay,
no.
What's left, right? They don't gamble, they don't drink. So there's one thing, lots of sex.
Married women.
Yeah.
A bunch of women.
They have a lot of kids.
Jeez. Okay.
All right, my friends. Well, listen, freedom works. We thank you for being with us on a Friday. Remember, we're going to be at Andrew the Master Barber's on March the 11th. It will be like a big remote that we're going to do. We want you to possibly be there. In the meantime, have a great weekend.
Toddle in town, Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around.